We have the pleasure in having on the Boomer Humor Radio Show an old and dear friend of ours.
Stop with the pretentious introduction. We have one of the greatest comics. I've worked with him many times. I'll never be as good as him. He's Comedy Central calls him one of the top 100 comics. I'm giving you the intro here.
Right,
Comedy Central is top 100 comics of all time. You've seen him in Ed Wood, Dreamgirls, Get Shorty. Of course, played in the Rat Pack, Joey Bishop opposite Ray Liotta, Joe Mantegna. Got great reviews. His last Showtime special, Born to be Bobby, now available on Amazon.com. He's got 3 CDs out. And his wife's a pain in the ass.
All right. Welcome to the show, Bobby Slayton.
Thanks for having Bobby. Take care.
Okay, there you go. I didn't need you. I could have just recorded this at home and sent it to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's what happens. I know what's going to happen. You ask me a bunch of stupid questions, and then I take it in a different direction and say stuff that I want to talk about.
And that's what's more important, because it's about you. It's not about us.
No,
it's
say whatever you want to talk about, Bobby.
Whatever you
Feel
want,
free.
Bobby.
What are you doing? What are you
up to? The vicious, the pit bull of comedy is everything.
What do I want to talk about? Well, I don't really have... Well, listen, I want to tell all your
Bobby?
I want to tell all your imaginary listeners that...
Yeah.
If you go to BobbySlayton.com, you can see where I'm playing. And I don't really give a rat's ass if you buy my DVD, Born to be Bobby, because the money doesn't... I think I even saw like a million of them before I make $20, so I don't really care about that. But
Bobby, are you still making the money you made back in 86, 88?
What happened to 87?
I wanted to...
Why 86? Why do you go from 86 to 88? 87 was my best year. See, that's why you skip over all my... That was the best year of my life was 87.
What was so good about 87?
87 was... I got married in 86, and then my daughter was born in 88, and everything's been downhill. 87, things were looking hopeful.
Actually, I've known Bobby so long, he was dating his wife, or as I call the plaintiff, right? And remember things? So wonderful then. You had a smile. I would pass you and your wife at an airport. I go, Bobby. And you say, oh, this is my other. And she was, ugh. I never seen such a gleam in your eye. And then it's just been downhill, right? Nothing.
Gleam in my eye, probably like Dexter. I was probably planning her demise, you know. No, but you know what? She's actually upstairs making me lunch right now. So that's very nice. I'm the one that does the cooking around the house. And my wife, this is great. We're actually having a great week. Not as you like. Good days and your bad days, you know what I mean?
Is it true? Really? Well, it's a good day when you're on the road, I guess.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. She actually just painted the front door. She just hanged this beautiful devil in my office. I'm sitting in my office right now, and she's upstairs making lunch. So today's a good day.
She sounds like a great woman. I think it's all you. I think you're the one that's making things weird.
Wait. No, next question. She is a great woman, and let me qualify that. You're right. She is a great woman. People meet my wife. And they expect to see this witch with a little mole with hair grown out of it, and she'll pull up on a broomstick. The way, I mean, we work together.
There's so many ways you can go. That image, you can go anywhere you want, but yet Bobby has this down to a science. Go on.
No, I know, but here's what it is, you know, and you guys have both worked with me. I mean, so the way I picture my wife, it's horrible, but she is a great woman. But you see, here's the thing. She said to me a few weeks ago, almost the same thing. She said to me, oh, come on, as wives go, you got to admit I'm a great wife. Okay, see, she's qualifying it. As wives go, okay, that's like saying Charles Manson, as serial killers go, I didn't eat anybody like Jeffrey Dahmer. I never raped anybody. I told other people to do the crimes. So as serial killers go, Charles Manson is pretty good compared to, let's say, you know, John Wayne Gacy, who dressed like a clown and strangled little boys. So, for a woman, and as women go, my wife's terrific.
And as husbands go, are you?
Are you, Bobby? Well, what's your
thing? No, but what are you talking about? I make all the money. There's not a lot of money anymore because you asked me earlier if I'm still making the kind of money I was. No. I was in Vegas for a couple of years. Things were great in Vegas. And then, you know, like a lot of people, the recession hit. And all these young upstart shitty comics started showing up on Comedy Central working for the third of the price that I worked for. So the comedy clubs are struggling. I'm not on TV now. I mean, what are you going to do with your dumb show? This is like the highlight of my week is this.
HBO.
Is your little imaginary radio show.
You know, let me tell
it's
you,
a big thing.
We're the number one self-indulgent health program on internet radio. So
we're the best. I'm telling you, there's no other show to rival us.
You know, we were talking of all the. We don't have many comics on. I said we have to have Slayton because he is a rainbow after the storm.
We love you. You know, Bobby, we love you. It's not just because we're conferring for guests.
No, we have Chaz Palminteri. We have Barry Livingston from My Three Sons. We have all the people on the way up all the way down. We go, and you're right in the middle.
I'm really right in the middle. I really am. Well, you see, that's the thing. I can't ever make a comeback because I've never made it anywhere.
That's right.
You know?
Heard of never.
I look at things. I remember when Kathy Griffin got life on the D list. I go, I'm not on any list. You know? I could even got on Schindler's List. No list can I get on.
Bobby couldn't get on Schindler's List.
What are you doing now, Bob? Don't you have an HBO?
No, it's Showtime. He's not good enough for HBO. He's doing Showtime.
God. I worked with you at the Improv. You were doing your
When we worked together, I was working on my second Showtime special, which I'm still working on. I was going to do it in Vegas, but you know it's impossible to shoot a show in Vegas.
Why?
Because of the union. They're worse than the mob. When the mob was there, things will run really smoothly.
I heard when the mob ran, everything was like everything a well-oiled cannoli.
Organized.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and the corporate crap that runs Vegas now—it's certainly not the same town. But anyway, so it's getting. I'm trying to find a place to do it, and to be honest with you, I'm trying to work on a lot of new material. I got enough to do another hour special, but you want to know something? The first special didn't do that much for me. You know,
really?
You know what? Yeah. None of these shows really do that much for you anymore. It's like, you know, when I did Jimmy Fallon, and I remember doing the Fallon show. My Showtime special came out. My friend Jake Johansson had just done Letterman, and his Showtime special just came out. We went back to Boston, and we did some dates, and you know, we had a smattering of people come out. And you know, and Johansson's a great comic, and I'm of course, well, we know that. And all this stuff, and it doesn't matter anymore. I do the Jimmy Fallon show. I play comic strip, and it's someplace in New York, Gotham. And we,
Gotham.
Who knows where it is? But and like, you know, they get a handful of calls, but it doesn't matter anymore.
And here's the thing.
That's always been your thing, Pete. Doesn't matter how funny you are, nobody cares.
Right? No. The strange thing, but let me tell you something. 25 years ago, or 20 years ago, when you had an HBO special, right, Bobby?
Or a Showtime, it meant
something, right?
Well, you know what it's also like? When you used to go on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, you know, people would go on. If Johnny asked you to come over and sit down, or you had a great spot, you know, you get a show out of it. The one time I did a Johnny Carson show, it went fabulous, but, you know, I got a few calls. But it's not like people cared anymore. It didn't make any difference. But you know what's funny? Crazy things happen. Watch, all of a sudden, Quentin Tarantino will be at home today on the computer, and for some strange reason, he stumbles upon your retarded show. He hears my voice, and he goes, I need that guy for my movie. And who knows? Stuff like that happens. Not to me, but you never know.
Hopefully he'll be listening to us and pick us.
No. But he's so funny. He is. He's viciously funny.
He is. I love
him. He's kid vicious.
Let's talk about him like he's not here.
You know, it's funny, speaking of podcasts, you know, so many people have them, I'm sure, and I've done a lot of them. This one, obviously, is the best one I've ever done. But, you know, I'm talking about a day late and a dollar short. You know, actually, somebody today, the people who distribute my DVD just asked me if I'm interested in doing a podcast. I have this really cool office sound studio thing. It would be perfect. But, you know, there's so many people do it now, but I was in the ground level when they first started doing internet radio. You guys probably don't remember. It's 10 years ago, Comedy World. And Craig Shoemaker, Greg Berendt, you know, who wrote that stupid book, maybe he's not that into you. My friend Ken Ober, you know, Ken Ober passed away.
Yeah, I still don't know what happened to Ken Ober. He was an old buddy. Obviously, he was not as well as, I mean, he's a young man when he went, so I don't know what.
Yeah. Look, can we get back to me now?
Yeah, okay.
I don't even know who that was.
You know what, the man's dead. There's nothing you can do about it.
Let's get back to Bobby.
I don't think you work the improvs enough. What are you, every other hour at an improv?
Yeah, Bobby, what's up with that? And how come I didn't work with you last time? Yeah,
my wife just brought me lunch to my office. What do you think? She's never done that before.
Hello, Mrs. Slayton.
She left. I already threw her out.
The butler.
She brought me lunch. That's amazing. I'm sitting down. Wow, I've never had lunch in my office either. But anyway, no, what I was going to say was, so Comedy World went on, and they had a lot of money. A big upstart company. A lot of guys from Silicon Valley spent millions of dollars. They got one of these old Howard Hughes airplane hangars in Culver City, right by my house, paid me a lot of money, paid us all a lot of money. We're talking about six figures to work 2 hours a day, and I had a million guests on. The problem was, back then, 10 years ago, nobody listened to the internet. You guys have this now. People are listening. But, you know, a few years later, when they went out of business, they went bankrupt from paying everybody so much money. And now, of course, internet radio has taken off. The story of my life.
And here we are.
You know,
here we are. It's like, this isn't really that funny, but I'll make it funny. But 9/11, you know, the week of 9/11, thank you, honey. She's not talking. She's great. She'll be on the radio all the time. The week of 9/11, I was getting ready to go to this TV show I did on HBO with Mike Binder. Binder the Married Man was coming out.
Yes,
I remember that.
Yeah, that was a hit.
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere.
That was
I asked Binder to be on my show, and he ignored me.
I tried to ignore you too, but you had my personal email. I said, what was I going to do?
Listen.
You know, I said that the junk mail, you kept getting through. I don't know how you're doing it.
One day he's going to need a ride from the airport to get to the West Palm Improv, and he's going to be nice to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm laughing at me, not you. But anyway, so that the week of 9/11, that Tuesday morning, I was on a flight to New York. We were going to do the house. Me and Joe Rogan were playing a club in New York. Bandits was coming out. The movie they did with Bruce Willis and Billy Bob Thornton. They were flying us back to do a big premiere. 9/11 hits, and you know, I felt bad for myself until I saw the people jumping out of out of the 100th floor windows. I go, well. So my movie's been pushed back, and my show's not going on until next month. Things could be worse, but it's always in the wrong place at the wrong time.
How does it relate to me?
You know how Bobby thinks? This is how his money goes. I can't get – he's watching them, unfortunately, the demise happening in the world, and he's going, I can't get a break. That's what Slate thinks. That's why we're very indulgent.
That's how you think, too.
No. You know what, though? I have – look, you know, here's the thing. I'm sitting in my house as long as I can keep paying for it, which is – It's a great house.
How's that? How's your daughter's boyfriend?
He just left 5 minutes ago to go to Wales to dance with Christina Aguilera for the big Michael Jackson tribute.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's the black guy, right? He's the African American man?
The Schwarzer. So I'd use the N-word, African American. Well, African American. Yeah. What is he, Martin Luther King? but he was so excited because it looked like he goes, you know, they're flying him coach all the way over to Wales to do this big show. You know, they're doing, I guess, a tribute for Michael Jackson this week. And he was so excited because he goes, they changed my ticket. And I go, really? And he goes, I'm so excited. It looks like it might be a business class. And I was getting excited thinking it was just going to be one way. So, you know, that would have been much better. That would have excited me. But
it's funny. Not necessarily as funny what I had written for him, but that's okay.
That's okay. He just left 5 minutes ago. It's funny you mentioned that.
That's because.
So, what are you up to now? Where are you going to be the next couple of months or so?
Go to his calendar. Go to
BobbySlayton.com. Follow that stupid Twitter. I'm in the Pitbull of Comedy. And keep listening to this show because it's, you know. By the way, I did Mark Maron's podcast. You know Mark Maron?
Hey, how is Mark Maron?
Oh, I cannot tell you. He got a big write up in Rolling Stone, you know, his WTF.
I didn't know he was suicidal. He had problems. I know him from L.A. I mean, he was having
That's what's really interesting because you talk about comics that are really successful. Every guy, and I'm not going to go through more, every comic I know who's a big star has either got through one or two divorces or one or two AA or some kind of drug treatment.
Right.
Always.
All got in trouble. Some of them are in jail. I have basically, as marriages go, I'm qualifying together. I have a fine marriage. My daughter, even though she's become a little bitch like her mother, you know, she's still great. And I'm healthy. Right, if I'm done with you, I'm going to go work out, play with my dog, and go to Minneapolis, a House of Comedy. I've never been there. I'm actually excited about Minneapolis.
House of Comedy.
House of Comedy in Minneapolis.
When are you coming back down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida at all?
Why?
Because we want to plug your show for our audience.
For your imaginary listeners?
Love imaginary comedy.
Do you know how many people download our show? I know it's hard to believe. We have an average of 2,500 people downloading, and not necessarily listening when we're live,
but
when
they download
it.
Real
so,
high average,
so we because we're getting a following. Just to piss them off, I'm going to send them an article on us. That's it.
That's why we asked to have you on.
We need someone with heat, not so hot, but lukewarm.
But we couldn't get anyone, so we asked you.
Right. I got it.
Well, you're always at the improvs now. Is that?
Yeah, no.
I'm looking at you. I was looking
always,
at your calendar.
Always.
You're always at the improvs. When are you not at the improv?
Next year they booked me to a lot of improvs. I'm in a lot of improvs next year. My calendar for next year is not up yet. But you know, I'm just working. I'm still trying to work on this damn Showtime special. And I think it's like Elvis Costello once said. I think it was him. Like, you have your whole life to work on your first album, and then you every time I do a CD, it takes years for me to do the next one because, you know, I want to make it as good as the last one.
Well, you have to get a crew. You got to get a crew of people, of writers that work with you, and you come up
No. I got to write myself.
He wants to. That's how I am. I like that.
Yeah, but you have people. You play off things. What do you think
of
this?
No. You try to give me jokes. You had a great joke for me. It was stupid. And I got a good joke. You know, you're like, there was a good joke. I didn't remember what it was.
Bobby, it wasn't a joke. It was a whole hunk, and I did it for you.
You took a joke from me, the Rosh Hashanah joke.
I used it. But I used that once. I never used it again. I used it just for,
the Jews.
For that one time.
How'd it go, by the way, that
joke? Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot to do it.
You forgot to do it.
Yeah, right.
I swear to God, I forgot to. Wait, did I do it?
Russia.
You know the Rosh Hashanah joke.
I know the rock band. Right, yeah, yeah, Guns N' Roses, Rosh Hashanah. You know, I went to the, I told you I wanted to use it at the Montreal Comedy Festival when I hosted the Jewish show, and I totally forgot.
Oh, good. Then I can use it. They won't think I'm stealing your material, which was originally my material.
Yeah.
I told you I was just going to use it for the Jewish show. And
yeah, I
know
totally... you did. I know you did, yeah.
God forbid they should have me up for the Montreal. Well, I'm the last of the Jews to play up there. I'm only in a show called the Kosher Comedy Tour.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. When they do that show, they had... who did they have? They had the Amy Schumer. They had two guys that were... Oh, they had both ridiculous kosher Jews. You know who they are. They both have Jew names. What are their names? Come on. You're the
I'm not
Garofinkelis. No, he's Greek.
But here's
the thing. If they put you on the bill, the room is full of Jews. And after watching you, you'd be so annoying. The Jews would sort of go, I see what Hitler. I get it now. That's what they would say.
You know, he says the same thing to every radio co-host that happens to have a Jewish last name. That's a standard bit from no, but all right. Listen, we're coming to the end of a call. Bobby, as usual, the pleasure has been all mine and Anna's. Thank you so much.
We love you, Bobby.
We love
really
you.
Thank
you guys.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
We should do this all the time.
The funniest thing he said when you left, when you were working, Bobby, goes, where are you going, a woman of your age?
I just left that.
I know. Because where are you going, a woman
of
your age?
I'm so sorry I ever told Peter that line, because every day he says that line. You said to me when we were working together, I was leaving, you go, where are you going? I said, I'm leaving. He goes, where are you going? You said to me, where are you going, a woman of your age?
Like
at this time of night.
Wait, did you forget your walker? You know, I mean, that's the way you were talking to us.
It was hilarious. I told Peter that. He hasn't shut up about it since.
Where are you going, a woman of your age?
Sorry about that. Now my lunch is getting cold. I got to go eat.
Go eat. Thanks, Barbie. We love you.
All right, guys. Anytime.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.